Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Heatwave 808 tail for floor shaking low end in Ableton Live 12 with proper jungle and old school DNB energy. This is not about dropping in a random sub and hoping it works. We're going to compose the tail from a sampled hit, shape it, tune it, resample it, and turn it into something that actually locks with the breakbeat. The whole idea here is controlled impact over time. That's the secret. A good DNB low end is not just big in solo. It has to stay powerful once the amen or break is flying, once the snare is hitting hard, once the arrangement gets busy. If your tail feels huge on its own but disappears in the mix, the problem is usually the envelope, the harmonic content, or where the note lands rhythmically, not just level. So let's start at the source. Choose a kick sample, an 808 style hit, or a sub-heavy one-shot with a strong low fundamental. We want something with character. A slightly dusty or tape-like sample often works better than a super clean modern sub, especially if you're aiming for old-school jungle vibes. Load it into simpler, and keep it in classic mode if you want that direct sample behavior. One shot can work too, but the main thing is that you're working from a real source, not a blank synth preset. Make sure the transient starts immediately. If the start point is late, the whole hit feels soft and vague. In this style, the front edge matters. The kick or low hit has to land cleanly against the break. Keep warp off unless you actually need timing correction, because unnecessary warping can blur the transient and make the tail less solid. Now shape the envelope so the sample behaves like a bass note. Attack at zero, decay somewhere around 600 milliseconds to 1.5 seconds as a starting range, sustain all the way down, and release somewhere around 100 to 250 milliseconds. At 170 to 174 BPM, tiny changes matter a lot. Sometimes shaving off just 50 or 100 milliseconds suddenly clears the groove. Think in milliseconds, not just bars. At this stage, don't worry about making it gigantic yet. First, make it playable. Next, tune the tail. This part is huge. If the sample is out of tune with the track, it will sound muddy or disconnected even if it's loud. Use tuner or just compare against a MIDI note in the piano roll. Find the strongest fundamental by ear or with spectrum, then transpose the sample until it sits on the song's key center or at least a note that supports the bass line. For darker DNB, roots like F, F sharp, G, or I often work well, but trust your ears and the context of the track. If the sample gets weird or boomy when transposed too far, don't force it. Try a different source. That's a better move than trying to rescue the wrong sample with too much processing. A well-tuned tail immediately feels more intentional and more musical. Once the tuning is in the right place, we make the tail behave like an actual 808-style bass note. Put an EQ8 after simpler and clean up the low end carefully. If the sound is boxy, gently cut some mud around 120 to 250 Hz. If there's a click or a harsh edge, try a small dip in the 2 to 5 kHz area. Don't overdo the EQ, especially not in the sub-region. This is not about thinning the bass out. It's about removing the parts that fight the groove. Then add saturation. This is where the tail becomes readable on more systems. A clean sub gives you foundation, but harmonics make the sound audible on smaller speakers and in dense club mixes. Use saturator or drum bus. With saturator, a drive of around 2 to 7 dB is a solid starting point, with soft clip-on and output trim to match level. If you want a rougher old-school edge, drum bus is a great choice, but keep the setting subtle. A little drive, a little crunch, and usually very little boom for this specific technique, because the tail already carries the weight. The goal is to create a bass note that feels deep and physical, but also readable. The sub sits underneath, and the harmonics help the note speak through the break. That's especially important in jungle, where the drums are busy and the low end has to stay clear. Now let's talk mono discipline. The true low end needs to stay centered and solid. Use utility and keep the width at 0% for the deepest part of the chain, or just keep the entire tail mono if that suits the track. If you want stereo movement, split the sound into layers. Keep one chain completely mono for the sub, and create a second chain for the harmonics only. High pass that upper layer around 120 to 180 Hz, so it never fights the sub. If you want subtle motion up top, you can add a little chorus ensemble or a very light phaser flanger, but keep it restrained. In this style, the movement should come from the break and the arrangement, not from a wide sub wobbling around the room. Now comes the part that makes this technique powerful for sampling and arrangement. Resampling. Once your tail sounds good on one note, record it to audio. Route it to a new audio track, and capture a few versions at different pitches and different envelope lengths. Record the root note, maybe a fifth and an octave, and then print short, medium, and long versions. Also capture at least one dirtier version, with a little extra drive. This gives you a small palette of custom bass samples, and that is where the identity comes from. This is one of the most useful moves in underground DNB. You're turning one sound design moment into a playable sample set. Now you can chop it, stretch it, reverse it, and arrange it like a bass instrument rather than just a single synth sound. From here, program the phrase with DNB rhythm in mind. Don't write it like a straight house subline. Think in relation to the kick, snare, and break. Let the tail answer the drums. Try landing a note on the upbeat, before the snare, then another short tail after a break slice, then a longer note at the end of a 2-bar or 4-bar phrase to create tension. Leave space. Bass is not empty. Bass is groove. A great jungle or old-school DNB bass line often feels like part of the drum performance. The tail might hit with a kick, then answer again just before the next snare, then hang a little longer into a fill. That call and response feeling is what makes it musical rather than just heavy. Use velocity and note length to vary the energy. Keep some hits short so the release shape creates movement. Let some notes breathe longer when you want the floor to open up. And always test the bass against the full breakbeat, not in solo. A sound that feels amazing alone can get in the way once the percussion comes alive. After the core pattern works, automate it. This is where the arrangement starts to feel like a performance. Automate the simpler filter cutoff, the decay time, the saturator drive, or the send amount to reverb and delay. In an intro, keep the tail shorter and more filtered so it hints at the drop. As the section builds, open the decay a little. Before a switch up, push the drive by a dB or two for extra tension. Then on the final note before a new section, send it into a reverb return and cut it short for that classic DNB contrast. For the returns, hybrid reverb can give you atmosphere and echo can give you dubby throws. Just make sure you high pass the return aggressively so the reverb doesn't clutter the sub region. The low end has to stay disciplined. You can also shape the relationship between the bass and the drums with gentle sidechain compression. Use a compressor on the bass chain sidechained from the kick or drum bus. Keep the attack fairly quick and the release time to the groove. You're not trying to create a pumping effect for its own sake. You're just making room so the kick transient can land cleanly and the tail can sit right after it. In old school and jungle arrangements, editing the tail length often sounds more natural than heavy sidechain pumping. Now, once you have one good version, don't stop there. Make variations. A short tail for busier sections. A long tail for breakdowns or drop openers. A dirtier version with more saturation for grimier moments. A filtered tail for tension. A reverse tail for pickups and switch-ups. If you want to go deeper, you can even use auto-pan in a very subtle, synchronized way to create a pulsing transition effect above the sub, while the actual low end stays mono underneath. This is the pro mindset. Treat the tail as arrangement material, not just a sound. Once you have a few versions, you can build phrases that evolve over 8 or 16 bars and feel like a real bass performance. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, making the tail too long. That is probably the easiest way to blur the groove. If the note keeps overlapping the next snare or kick accent, shorten the decay or release. Second, using too much stereo in the sub. Keep the low end centered. Third, oversaturating. If the bass loses punch and turns flat, back off the drive. Fourth, ignoring tuning. If the sample doesn't fit the key, it will never quite sit right. And fifth, forgetting to check the tail with the actual break. In this genre, the break is not a background element. It's part of the rhythm engine. If you want to push this even further, try a few advanced variations. Add a tiny pitch drop at the start of the note so the sub feels like it falls into place. Build a two-stage tail, where the front of the note is a little brighter and punchier, and the sustain is darker and smoother. Or make a tail call and response by alternating a dry version with one that has a short delay throw or filtered ambience. Another great move is to chop the printed tail into micro slices and reassemble it into a bass riff. That can sound very old school, very sampled, and very alive. For extra grime, try a very subtle layer of vinyl texture or noise with erosion, but keep it faint. You can also duplicate the tail and high pass the duplicate so it only contributes upper harmonics. That makes the bass translate better on smaller systems without making the mix heavy. And if you want even more control, use clip gain or audio clip envelope shaping before reaching for stronger compression. Often a manual edit beats a processor. Here's a strong practice move. Build three versions of the same heatwave tail. Make one clean and tuned, one dirty and saturated, and one short and utility focused. Then write an 8-bar jungle-style bass phrase that leaves room for the break. Automate one transition, like a filter opening or a decay increase before the drop. Then compare all three versions in the full mix and decide which one works best for the drop, the fill, and the switch up. If you want to level up even more, bounce the final bass line to audio and chop it against the break like it's a sampled instrument. That is where this technique really comes alive. You stop thinking like you're programming a bass patch, and you start thinking like you're composing a low-end performance. So the big takeaway is this: build the tail from a tune sample, shape the decay and harmonics so it translates, keep the sub mono and disciplined, resample it into audio, and write it around the breakbeat rather than on top of it. That's how you get that heatwave style 808 tail that shakes the floor without washing out the groove.